You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Pro Football Focus and BearsWire.com, part of the USA Today sports media group. I'm here to once again offer a little bit of an oasis of Chicago Bears talk for you here in this desert time of the offseason. Still a few weeks away from training camp. We're a few weeks removed from OTAs and mandatory minicamp. So Locked On Bears is your way to help get through this offseason, and I'm happy to help bring you along for the ride. Today we're continuing our early look ahead at the Chicago Bears 2018 schedule. We're already getting closer and closer to midseason now, hitting into week 8, and the New York Jets today will be joined by Elliot Crist, who is a Jets analyst and a fantasy football writer and goes pretty deep into NFL draft analysis during the draft season as well. Just a good all-around football mind. And he's going to update us on what's going on with Sam Darnold and the Jets quarterback situation. We'll talk about a lot of the unheralded players at the skill positions on offense. They kind of rebuilt their offensive line a little bit too. And we'll wrap up with a look at their defense, trying to replace some of the big names they've lost over the last couple years and kind of retooling that secondary with some quality young players along the way. The Jets are, of course, the first team now on the Bears' schedule that actually finished with a worse record than them last year. And we're starting to get now to these teams that you, on paper, I think most Bears fans are going to pencil in a W for this one. I think a lot of Bears fans would pencil in a W for the Dolphins, although, as we talked on last week with Travis Wingfield from Locked On Dolphins, it's a team that's going to be trying to make a playoff push as well. And obviously every team in the NFL is trying to make a playoff push every year. That's kind of the goal. But, you know, these are the kind of teams that the Bears can start to feel a little bit more confident against. That these are not, you know, teams that are guaranteed to make the playoffs, guaranteed to be in competition. A lot of these teams, like the Dolphins, like the Jets, like the Bills that we're going to be doing next, these are teams that are winnable on paper games for the Chicago Bears because of how many question marks they have. You know, you kind of take a big picture look at the Jets just from the outside here. It's a team that maybe reminds you a little bit of the 2017 Bears, you know. Veteran quarterback with a first-round, top-five pick rookie quarterback behind him. Certainly Josh McCown, a lot better than anything Mike Glennon was able to offer last year. But it seems like a team where even if they do strike some success and string together some wins this season, it's not necessarily a team laser-focused on a potential playoff appearance. You know, they made a couple nice signings in free agency because they just had such an abundance of cap space and a lot of free agents on their own team leaving. A team going through a lot of transition, like we saw with the Bears last year and the previous year. So I'm curious to see, once you bring Elliot on here, how some of his description of the Jets might match up with some things we've heard and said and thought about the Chicago Bears in recent years. Or maybe I don't have the right perspective there, and this is a team that doesn't quite have that same feel to it. But I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see, and that's why we bring in guests from outside Locked On Bears, so we can get someone, you know, more in tune with the team to really kind of tell us what's going on with the New York Jets. So with that, let's bring on our guest. Joining us now on Locked On Bears is Elliot Crist. He writes about fantasy football for the website 4for4, and you can follow him on Twitter at Elliot Crist. He also happens to be a pretty loyal follower of the New York Jets, and so he's here to help us break down the team the Bears will be facing near the midpoint of the season next year, right in the middle of that stretch of AFC East games on their schedule. Elliot, thanks so much for joining us today.
No problem, man. I'm excited to talk some Jets, and you know, it's the Bears are one of the more fun, exciting teams, not only in the NFL but on the Jets schedule. So you know, this is going to be a fun talk.
Well, what's kind of the general feeling right now with this Jets team? You know, quarterback of the future is in the fold with Sam Darnold, but a team that had struggled the last couple of years, and Todd Bowles had kind of been on the hot seat, and there was some thought that he may or may not survive this year, and now he's kind of lingering a little bit here, getting this quarterback opportunity that could extend his job security. I guess what is the general feeling about where this team stands through this offseason right now?
So I think there are some ups and downs of the offseason. I think there were some high hopes for people, but at the end of the day, they got the rookie quarterback. Some people wanted Baker Mayfield. I was one of those people. There are a lot of reports that was the Jets guy they traded up to get, and the Browns shocked him. But I think Sam Darnold's a hell of a consolation prize. You know, there's not a throw on the football field he can't make. He came in the year as the top quarterback prospect. Just a ton of potential. They add Tremaine Johnson, who's one of the best press coverage man guys in the NFL. And, you know, the Jets run a lot of that. So that's really going to help their team. They get another year of Jamal Adams and Marcus May growing. You know, I didn't love the Isaiah Crowell signing, Terrell Pryor, Bucky Hodges. I feel like they signed a lot of guys that are better athletes than football players, guys that people have been excited about in the past and aren't necessarily great football players. But I look at this offseason as a success because you get the quarterback of the future for the first time in forever since Mark Sanchez, but this one you actually hope works out. And you get a guy who, you know, did you overpay for Tremaine Johnson? Yeah, but I like that they front-loaded the contract, and I think that's really important when you have $100 million in cap space. I'd rather overpay good to great players than, you know, pay what average players kind of deserve, because the Jets can afford to front-load the contract, and in the third or fourth year of the contract, he'll be paid what he should be paid, and, you know, that they'll be able to afford their other guys. So I like what they did in the offseason. I didn't love the trade-up before the draft. I think they overpaid for three, you know, giving up those two second-round picks and one next year to move up a couple spots, not knowing who the guy was. Or, again, going back to the Baker Mayfield thing, if that was your guy and you traded all that and then you didn't end up getting your guy, I know Darnold's a hell of a consolation prize, but if this team could have used a couple more second-rounders. But at this point, you know, the fan base doesn't care. They just want to say, we're moving on with our franchise guy. And this year, winning isn't even necessarily the most important thing. It's about the development of Sam Darnold.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like the way Bears fans felt last year with Trubisky, that I think just the idea of moving from 3 to 2 and giving up draft picks made people feel bad. And then a lot of people didn't have Mitchell as the number one quarterback for them in the draft, myself included. I think you and I are both big Deshaun Watson fans last year. But as soon as he gets in the building and, you know, you put all your eggs in that basket, the fans just get behind him 100% and kind of push that for the future. What do you think the plan is for him in year one? Does he truly have the open competition to be able to start week one, or is the plan at least to start him or to sit him for the whole season, and maybe that changes? But what do you know, or do you get much of a feeling of how the team wants to handle that?
So what you read is that they want McCown as the current starter, but, you know, Todd Bowles always talks about it's an open competition. All positions can always be won by good play. And, you know, I have to imagine that Sam Darnold by week 5 or 6 is the starting quarterback of this team. You look at basically every situation around the NFL, these guys play. I mean, even guys like Jared Goff, who they drafted and announced he wouldn't play any games, he played. Blake Bortles, the same thing. Remember, he got thrown in a couple weeks. Deshaun Watson, they said he's sitting. We're not changing our minds for at least like half the season. And then half a game and Deshaun Watson's in there. I mean, these young quarterbacks, they need reps, and I think the Jets will give it to him. And, you know, I also think he's the best quarterback on the team. And what do you really gain from starting Josh McCown? So I think it's a no-brainer. I think by the time the Jets play the Bears, Sam Darnold is going to be the starting quarterback.
Coming up next on Locked On Bears, I'll ask Elliot about Sam Darnold's supporting cast here on offense before we get over to the defense and a lot of the changes the Jets have been going through there. Keep it locked here on Locked On Bears. We're talking New York Jets here with Elliot Crist. Elliot, I look at the talent around the quarterback here in New York, regardless of who the quarterback is. And, you know, wide receiver, you added Terrell Pryor, and Kurse and Robbie Anderson are both kind of maybe a little bit overlooked outside of New York, but neither one of them is a truly, you know, game-changing wide receiver. They added Crowell to the backfield, and this offensive line still, I think, has some shakiness to it, even with the new center in there, Spencer Long. Do you feel like this is a supporting cast and an offense that is ready for a rookie quarterback? Or I guess, do you worry about that potentially, I don't know if harmful is the right word, but not being the ideal situation for Sam Darnold to start out his career?
I think the wide receivers aren't great, but they're not bad. I think Robbie Anderson has made huge strides year to year. He's one of the best deep threats in the NFL. Jermaine Kearse, you know, believe it or not, was actually one of the more successful receivers just in terms of like the success rate when targeting Jermaine Kearse in the NFL. And then Quincy Enunwa comes back this year from the neck injury, and if he plays anything like he did prior to that, he's a really good big slot receiver that can make some plays. This team has no tight ends. I know the age-old saying is a tight end is a young quarterback's best friend. It's, you actually look at the numbers, and that's not really a true statement. They drafted Chris Herndon, Jordan Leggett the year before. We'll see if any of those guys develop. I think there's legitimate concerns with the offensive line. I mean, the offensive line's not good. Kelvin Beachum, Brandon Snell, James Carpenter, Brian Winters, you know, you mentioned Long. Carpenter is the only guy that's been a consistent NFL player, and last year he was poor. Winters really struggles with top-end competition. And the running backs you talked about, I mean, Isaiah Crowell is one of the least efficient running backs in the entire league. I know people love to point out his yards per carry because he breaks off big runs every once in a while. But you actually look at his numbers and – he was the he had 39% of his rushes last year were successful plays, you know, which was the worst in the entire league. And then you add Bilal Powell, who had the most runs for 1 yard or less in the NFL. You're talking about a Jets team that was incredibly predictable. I think they ran on first down 83% of the time. They were the worst team in the NFL on second downs. And they also – they punted 31 times when trailing in the second half of games this year, which is more than the 0-16 Browns. This team was incredibly predictable as a play caller. So I think just the addition of Bates and changing up play callers, and that should help some. But I would say that a young quarterback being able to lean on his running game and offensive line, it's not an ideal situation. But it's not the worst. I mean – To talk Bears for a second, I mean, Trubisky's receiving corps last year, that's about as bad of a receiving corps as you could give, and you still saw some signs of hope from Trubisky. You know, that the offensive line was much better and the running game was much better, but I think that, you know, Darnold's the kind of guy, he's got some athleticism, he's shown escapability, he can make guys miss, make some plays on the run. I think, you know, you're throwing him to the wolves somewhat, but I think he can still show flashes and upside and give hope for year two.
And it seems like in years past, Jets quarterbacks have been able to rely on that defense especially to kind of shoulder their part of the load. But it seems like, you know, with Sheldon Richardson gets traded last year and now Muhammad Wilkerson leaves in free agency and then DeMario Davis is gone out of that front seven. You know, they brought in what Henry Anderson and Avery Williamson there at linebacker. But those two guys don't necessarily seem to me like guys that are going to quite move the needle that much. I think Anderson has some potential there, but has struggled to do it consistently enough. How much of a step back are you expecting as this team, is particularly in the front seven, as this team kind of transitions a little bit away from the bigger name stars? I mean, not to overlook Leonard Williams there, but it's hard to replace the likes of Sheldon Richardson and Mo Wilkerson up front.
Yeah, Wilkerson's been bad the last couple of years, and Jets fans have kind of really turned on him. Ever since he got that contract, he was always late to meetings. His PFF grades fell tremendously. His play just in general was not very good. He wasn't the player he once was. Richardson's always been one of the most dominant upfront players in the league. They traded him last year. You know, they got Leonard Williams. They have McClendon. They drafted a couple guys, Nathan Shepard, the kid from UConn as well, I'm blanking on his name, who are really good run stuffers. Avery Williamson, I think, is an upgrade from DeMario Davis. Darren Lee hasn't really done much. I think it's going to be a solid run-stopping team, but, you know, yet again, this New York Jets team has no edge rushers. I mean, stop me if you've heard every year as a draft analyst, right, you hear the same thing, two things the Jets need. They need an edge rusher and they need a quarterback, and they never have either one. This year they have the quarterback, but they still have no edge rusher. I think the defense has some young talent, especially in the secondary. That's what they're going to rely on, but they're going to struggle to get after the passer. They're going to have to create pressure by blitzing, and that creates holes in defenses. And, you know, Marcus May struggled and was out of position at times last year, and this team's going to give up some big plays because they're going to allow quarterbacks a lot of time to pick them apart at times.
The Jets secondary could provide a nice challenge for Mitchell Trubisky this season. We'll find out just how tough they could be next with Elliot Crist here on Locked On Bears. let's talk about that secondary next. You know, they signed Tremaine Johnson, like you mentioned, and I guess that kind of struck me as almost more of a win-now type of a move. When you invest top dollar in one of the top free agents at the position, at a premium position like that, I mean, did that kind of surprise you? And I guess, what are you expecting now from the secondary? I mean, are they being asked to kind of carry the defense in that sense? I mean, as much as a secondary can?
Yeah, I mean, I think absolutely they are. I mean, last year they drafted two safeties in round one and two in Jamal Adams and Marcus May. And, you know, Adams was one of the better young players in the NFL. He's the heart and soul of this team. They added Mo Claiborne last year. Now, Claiborne was up and down this year, but I think he's best served as a cornerback too. You know, the kind of guy that doesn't face the top end guys, which really helps him. You know, he's going to get better by the fact that Tremaine Johnson is now going to be on the number one guys, play a lot of press man, really be able to take advantage of his physicality. Buster Screen in the slot has historically been an up and down kind of guy. But, you know, I think the secondary is by far the strength of the team. And I think that they're going to be relied upon and asked to do a lot of the heavy lifting. The question is, you know, can the pass rush help them out at all? Because right now they really have Leonard Williams and then not much else.
You're not confident in the Jordan Jenkins, Lorenzo Maldon combination to get after quarterbacks?
No, I think we can enjoy their 8 sacks combined on the year and the fan base get excited for no reason over those two players every year.
Well, where does this leave the team then in terms of, like, general expectations for the regular season? I mean, you said it might be less about wins and more about development, but what does that look like in terms of, you know, a final season win number? You know, is it back kind of in the same 5-11 range that they finished the last couple of years? Or if Darnold can get in there and look like a franchise quarterback and have some of that early career success, is this a team that can push closer to that 500 mark? Or are they kind of still down in this sort of punching bag for other teams that I think a lot of people kind of see when they see the Jets on the schedule?
It's interesting because last year the Jets were actually leading in 9 of the 16 games at halftime. And then the second half they fell apart. And part of it was the predictability. Part of it was the bad play calling and the fact that they're not the most talented team. But I think this team's going to take a step forward. I think the offensive coordinator helps. I think the quarterback position will greatly improve. You know, there's no Bryce Petty and Christian Hackenberg on this team. You know, they were actually pretty competitive with, you know, they beat Jacksonville last year. They beat the Chiefs with Josh McCown. They hung around in some games. I think that this is probably a 6-win team with the upside of 8. You know, it's a weaker AFC, but they're only favored in, what, 4 games the entire year, and none of them are by more than 3 points. So this is not exactly a heavy-hitting team. I think that if you win 6-8 games and Sam Darnold shows flashes and some of the young pieces in the secondary take another step forward, it's a team that you can get excited with for, you know, $80 million-plus dollars in next offseason to build around your young quarterback. But, you know, I think this team's going to be in more games than people expect, but ultimately come up short and kind of be a 6-7 win team.
Is a 6-7-8 type win season enough for Todd Bowles to keep his job? I mean, does Sam Darnold truly extend his job security? Like we saw last year with John Fox and the Bears, the writing was kind of already on the wall that Fox wasn't going to last beyond Trubisky's first season. But do you get a feeling much for where Todd Bowles gets to stand in that department?
Yeah, I think if he wins 7 or 8 games, he's coming back. I mean, since you brought up John Fox, I mean, you talk about hamstringing a quarterback and not wanting to see him succeed. I mean, the games where Trubisky was throwing 11 total passes, you know, on that team, no matter what, is running even when they're behind. Trubisky would flash and they wouldn't allow him to throw the football. I think Fox is one of those guys where ownership was kind of like, you know, he's holding our quarterback back. I think if this team wins 6 games, but Sam Darnold looks promising, it's one of those things. All right, let's bring this coach back. We got the young quarterback. This team's meshing. You know, we think we can build off of this. So I don't think it's necessarily the win number as much as it is how they look. Like, if they win 6 games and Josh McCown starts 16 games, I think he'd be fired. But I think if they win 6 or 7 games and Sam Darnold shows promise and they have some ups and downs and, you know, they win a couple games that no one expects them to win and they show life, I think it would really help his chances of returning the following season.
Well, Elliot Crist, he is a fantasy football analyst for 444 is the number four, the word four, and the number four again, 444.com, and a, as you can tell, an excellent analyst of the New York Jets. You can follow him on Twitter at Elliot Crist. And Elliot, that was phenomenal. I really appreciate you coming on to talk some New York Jets.
Anytime, man. I'm pumped for your Chicago Bears. So for all the listeners out there, you got a Bears fan in me this year.
All right, the AFC, you can maybe pull some Bears fans to be the AFC team of choice, having the New York Jets. Maybe they can identify with, you know, offensive predictability last year, and now a rookie quarterback coming in. That's at least something to lift the spirits, even if the wins won't follow through.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks again to Elliot Crist for joining us on the podcast today. If you enjoyed our conversation and you're enjoying these early regular season schedule preview look aheads here, make sure you hit that subscribe button on the podcast, and we'll be bringing you more Chicago Bears analysis mixed up in between here, like we did earlier this week, looking at some Bears who could surprise you this season. Our next podcast here, we're going to take a look at James Daniels. I got a question on Twitter from one of our loyal listeners asking about potentially trying to play James Daniels at left tackle instead of left guard, given his physical tools. Want to give a shout out right away here to our loyal listener, Tom Papalardo, for asking that question. We're going to do a little bit of a mailbag version tomorrow. And, you know, if you have more questions for me and for the podcast, feel free to tweet me at CoxSports1 or just tweet the show at LockedOnBears, and we can turn your question into a full-on podcast answer. You know, I gave Tom the short answer on Twitter, but 280 characters is not enough time to get into some of the nuance between playing guard, playing left tackle, and whether or not James Daniels has the skill set to be able to do so. Because I think he's not too far off base there, but we'll get into sort of what would make that a challenge and what ramifications trying James Daniels at left tackle would have for the rest of the Bears offensive line. That's coming next episode on Locked On Bears. That's why you got to hit that subscribe button, and that's why you got to keep it locked on your favorite Chicago Bears podcast, Locked On Bears, because no matter what, we're always going to give you a reason to bear down.